Shabbat Shalom. Just like in those songs, He has been faithful. He's still faithful to us today. And He's been faithful to all generations. No matter what's happened, what's been going on, He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just, you know, I'm thinking about this these past 2 weeks. There was two words that we learned in the Hebrew, Hene, and we learned about Achal. Hene and Achal go hand in hand together. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But it was, you know, Hene was beholding. The He is to behold, and the Nun is to continuously. So in the garden in the beginning, Adam and Eve was always Hene, beholding continuously Yehovah. Always had that relationship with Yehovah. That's how it was in the beginning with Hene and Achal. But over here, they in Achal was eat. It says, from every tree in the garden you shall surely eat. This one you eat, the tree of life, you eat. Achal. And he said it once. He said it twice. Achal, eat, eat. Eat from these trees, any of these trees. Achal. And that means to bow down and to have a submission to, or to, where's that word at? Let me look at it real quick just to make sure. It's a bending or subduing of the will. It's the bending or subduing the will. There's bending and subduing of the will was always to the Father. They always looked up to Him for everything. Their whole reliance was on Yehovah. Everything in there and their will to do was all bent to His will. And that was what they were to eat from all the time, was always depend on Him as their source of life, a call. And Hene was bending and bowing and submitting too. But they chose this tree. And this tree severed them off from Yehovah. They no longer had that access to Yehovah no more. They took this one. They had no more reliance on Yehovah. They had reliance on themselves. And being reliant on only what you have, because you're not Elohim, you're not God, you only have so much that He gave, you can only live so long on what you have, because you severed off. Once you partook of this tree, that's all you had, was the knowledge of good and evil, and you always depend on yourself, and always depend on man. And throughout all the ages, man's flip-flop back and forth from God to self, God to self. And so I spent the past 2 weeks, you need to go look this up on YouTube. You need to write this in your notes. It's pretty incredible. I picked up on a little nugget from Pastor 2 weeks ago. He said on his spare time, he's been going on YouTube and looking up echoes of the Bible. And he's able to go through the Bible in little bits and pieces, listening to different prophets that spoke, Isaiah, Jeremiah. He could listen to all the different kings, all the different ones, Ahaz, and all the ones what they did. And there's a narrator on there. And he gives such great detail. So I took his word for it. I went and checked it out about 2 weeks ago. I started with Isaiah. And the narrator's giving it to you in Isaiah, about Isaiah, how he starts off, and it puts you kind of in a place of where Isaiah's at in his time, going to the temple. And their king is a king of Judah. These are all kings of Judah. And all the tearing down all of God's house and worshiping the other Baals and throwing their children to Moloch, killing their children, burning them in the fire, all these adulterous things, throwing all of God's stuff out and doing that. And these prophets like Isaiah is in the middle of all this. And it's like when you listen to the narrator, he's actually telling you what the story is. And for me, I absorb more when I'm watching or listening to a movie. And then I go back, and the narrator, when he's telling you, he says you can get it from 2 Kings so-and-so, 1 Chronicles so-and-so, Isaiah or Jeremiah so-and-so, and I'll pause it. You can do that for your study times. You can pause it, and you write it down. And then you go back and look and see word for word, it's exactly what the narrator just got finished saying. But you got all these names that you have to read through. So it's almost like he doesn't bypass the names, but he's explaining it to you in great detail. And then you can go back and read it for yourself and look at all those names as you're going through it and the details of what Isaiah was going through at the time and how he went in the temple one day. One day he went in the temple and he kneels like he always did in the middle of all the mess of Judah that what they were going through. And he kneels down one day. And Yah himself cannot be present with us at this time because of our sin. It would destroy us. We're tainted with sin. So he comes to Isaiah in a vision. He comes in a vision. And he shows himself to Isaiah. His robe was so huge, it just the tail end of the robe filled the temple. And then he realized how big this God is, that his glory filled the whole entire earth. That's how big this God is. So now he's getting a visual of what Adam and Eve visualized when they're in the garden right here beholding him. Hane, beholding. What are they beholding? A sight that is so big beyond me. It's so beyond me. Isaiah is so beyond me. And then he gets to the spot. He says, I'm a man with unclean lips. All of a sudden, it shows you your faulties. When you get close to him, it makes you uneasy because it shows you your faulty. It shows you the sin, the things you have to get rid of to be before him. He says, I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. We're dead. Woe is me. We're in trouble. We're all dead. And he says, it's okay. It's okay. And he sends the angel. And the angel, at that time, there was the altar where they sacrificed the lambs, the rams, and the bulls to get rid of their sin. And the coals was on the fire, really hot still after they had done all that. And the angel said, look, they still got some left. Look. And he grabs it and he brings it to his lips. And Yehovah has a way of where he was able to touch his lips and cleanse him rather than his whole being burned up. He just comes there, the master. Yehovah is like that. He comes there and he's able to touch his lips and clean him. He says, now your lips are clean. Now all this is done. And then Yehovah gives him an invitation. He doesn't say, now you will do this. He says, now I need someone to be my mouthpiece and go speak to the people. That's an invitation. And he says, hey, here I am. Here am I. I'll do it. I'll be the one. When you say Hene, that was like all these pastors that just came and got ordained. Brother Rob and Brother Scott. I can say Pastor Scott now. Assistant Pastor Scott. Assistant Pastor Rob. Assistant Pastor Chad. We're here to assist. We're not the pastors of Faith Temple, but we're here to assist. Then if Yehovah brings us somewhere to be a pastor of a church, that's on him. But on our time and our doing right now is on his, and he's got us here. And at that time, Isaiah says, hey, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. And then Yehovah's got to spill it all out. I just got to let you know, when you do go, they're going to be eat people with ears, but they're not going to hear what you're telling them. And they're going to be people with speaking back at you and hating what you say. They're not going to want to listen to you. But you're going to have to be my mouthpiece. I got a plan and a purpose for all this. I just need you to take care of your assignment, Isaiah. You're going to be my mouthpiece. And he says, it's not going to be a revival when you go and tell them. There's going to be utter destruction that's going to come upon Israel, the northern tribe, and Yehuda. You see, I get all this information because I sat down and I listened to just Isaiah on a little video and I pause it and I go read it. I pause it and I go read it. I write it down. I'm not no special guy that can do this. Any of you could do this. It's not hard. Pastor tells us all the time. It's not hard. It's easy. We've just learned wrong ways and we got to learn to get rid of them and put this on. And that's what our master points us to. He points us to what the Father is pointing them to, the Torah and the prophets. And so Isaiah, he goes out and he starts telling these. And it wasn't easy for him. He would tell them, they would get beat, he would get thrown in prison. He had a lot of hard times he went through. Jeremiah would go tell the king. And the king would get him put in a barracks. They put him in those locks where they'd lock his head and his arms. And it would be a humiliation in front of the people. He don't know what he's talking about. And he's bringing the very words of Yehovah saying, this is what's going to happen. And it's not like people portray it as, you know, this is the good guys and the bad guys, we're better than you. It's whenever they broke the commands and pulled down all the things and got away from Yah. Yah had no choice but to cause his discipline. The Assyrians didn't come because the Assyrians made themselves that way. Yehovah raised up this people to come against him because of his discipline towards Yehuda and Israel. He's trying to get them to see that what he means is he's serious. All these other nations serve their gods with all their heart. They put everything into it. And here, I'm your Yah, I'm your God, and you're breaking my covenant with you. It's my covenant. You don't serve me. I've been faithful to you. I never done you any wrong. I've always provided for you. I brought you out of mystery. I brought you out of those places. I brought you and took care of you and provided for you in the wilderness. I provided you. I gave you houses you didn't build. I give you vineyards. And you break all my commands and go and serve their gods, which aren't really gods. They're all fake. They're made of wood and clay. They're all made up in people's minds. They're false. It's not real. They throw their children to the fire, thinking that they get life because they throw their children to the fire. You have done this. And Isaiah had to go tell them that. And the king would tear up their stuff and throw it in the fire. Jeremiah went and told the king. And Zedekiah. And Zedekiah, listen, he put him in prison. Then the next time he come, he got so upset with him because he's bringing Yah's word, he throws him in a cistern. A cistern that was empty. It used to be full of water, and all it's got is muck in it. Go read in Jeremiah. It's got muck in it, just mud. And he's sinking up to his neck. He's left in there overnight to die. And one of the priests comes in and says, are you all right? Are you all right, Jeremiah? We're going to pull you out. We believe what God's saying. So they pull him out of the hole, and then they go and talk, and what else is Yah saying? This is what he's saying. He's saying you're going to be turned over to Babylon. They're going to take you over. They're going to rip you up unless you submit to them. So they write it. He writes it all on a scroll. And they said, hey, this can't be just with the leadership. We got to bring this to the king to warn the king. So they bring it to the king. And the king looks at it. He starts tearing it piece by piece, throwing it into the fire. And the priests say, no, no, at least give it to us. These are the words of Yehovah. Please, please, please don't. And he won't let them have it. He burns all the words of Yah from the prophet and throws them all in the fire and burns them up just like that. Then what next comes for this king, it wasn't nice at all. It got really, really bad. They get their walls pounded on. All the people are starving. There's nowhere to go. It all gets taken down. And it's a long story, but a lot of things happen. They give him warning after warning. You know, Yehovah is merciful. And I learned that he's full of grace. His mercy and his grace is his warnings that came through the prophets first. He would warn them. He wouldn't just allow the bad to come because of the wrong that they did. He'd always give them warning. He always loved them and said, I'm warning you. I'm just trying to tell you, if you keep doing this, this is what's coming for you. But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Hezekiah. Hezekiah, after his father Ahaz went and sold all that stuff to the Assyrians, trying to side with them, because that's what man does. Man tries to build their stuff alongside somebody else because they feel like it's got to be this political power. And he had a chance. Ahaz had a chance. Guy says, hey, just ask of me anything. I'll send the rains of heaven down on your enemies. Just ask me anything and I'll do it. And Ahaz, still stuck on self, still thinking that, yeah, well, maybe. He wasn't seeing Yah for who he was. He was still stuck in his mind in selfishness. He was still stuck in that spot, you know, well, and he uses this little verse of scripture and says, well, you know, I just don't want to, you know, ask you for something. You know, that wouldn't be right and respectful. But in Ahaz's mind, he's thinking about Assyria. I'm just going to side with Assyria. And so he bypasses Yah's words, and he sides with Assyria. And Yehovah tells Isaiah, he says, listen, he says, he couldn't come up with the best that I can come up with, so I'll come up with it for him. I want to come up with my best. And when we read this, and a rod shall come forth from the stump of Yishai, and a sprout from his root shall be fruitful. He says, I want to give my best. I want to send my son. None of you faithful, but he's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to listen to all my words that I speak. In my name, he's going to speak my words. And he's not going to come with weapons of war and kill each other like you're doing and siding up with politics. He's going to come with my words that are just and pure and a judicial system in the millennial that's going to rule and reign forever. And a man does not listen to the words I speak. He speaks in my name, I require it of him. That's why he wrote this. That's why we say this. It's going to be a government when He returns. It's all based on Yah's words, and it functions like it did before, and we behold Him and respect Him for who He is. That's who Yehovah is. And that's what He told Isaiah. That's what only a remnant is going to be left. And even Isaiah had a son, and he named him, I want to say his name was I can't remember his name exactly how it goes, but his name meant a remnant will be left. A remnant will be left. And so it just goes to show you that words and names mean something. We was taught a name of our Messiah 400 years ago, and it stuck so much. And even with these people, there was a king, I think it was Manasseh. King Manasseh did the most evilest and crookedest out of all the kings. It was so bad he had all the children being. It wasn't just his children, but they're throwing all their children into the fire, all of them. And it was so wicked and so evil, all the things that he was doing. And it got to a place where he got captured. They put hooks in his mouth. They took him for 500 miles all the way. The Assyrians took him to Babylon. And there he stayed in prison. And while he's in prison, he had time to think about what he did wrong. And he was thinking about it. He said, man, I did so wrong. And that's how merciful and graceful God is, that He gave him a second chance. So he goes back and God gets him to set back everything up. So he sets everything back up, the temple and everything. And he starts trying to get the people after 50 years to try and serve Yehovah the way they were supposed to. But after 50 years, it was so instilled in some of the hearts and the minds of the people to do wrong and serve the paganism, they just wouldn't change. That's the percussion that happens over time when you teach your children to do the wrong thing. Sometimes, just like for Manasseh, he tried, but he couldn't get a bunch of them to change. The wrong had already been done. You know, you can commit adultery, and you could do things wrong, and you can try and win the hearts of the people back. Sometimes you're not going to win some of those hearts back. They've already been ruined. He says that. He says, I'm sorry, Manasseh, you can try, but some of them, they're just not going to listen. They're just going to be stuck there because that was the percussion. That was the consequences because you chose to do the other things. Now you're repenting. Now you're back. But it ain't all going to be back. It's just the way it is. Some people are just not going to listen. Some people are not going to come back. They're just going to stay there. So there's this name of a Messiah, of our Messiah over 400 years ago, and it's stuck. And some people, you can tell them that the scriptures say it's Yeshua, Yehoshua. He's the salvation of Yehovah, all you want. But some people, it's so embedded in there that it's got to be this name and there's no other name. It's just like what happened with Manasseh. There was this people, they was taught something, and you just couldn't get it out of them. They just was stuck in them, and they couldn't get it out. And just like Isaiah, he went and tell them, and the kings wouldn't listen, so all the downfall had to happen. Some did, but some just won't. And that's what he told Isaiah. Some will, but some won't. And that's what he tells us today. You're going to go out there. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to speak to people. Some just not going to hear. But that's not for us to decide and not for us to judge. That's for Yehovah to judge. We're supposed to do our assignment. And he says to say it, you say it. Rather they listen or don't listen. And when he says be easy about certain things, you be easy. I had an incredible time the other day with some guys from Indiana. Some of them Amish. Some of them went from Amish to a different religion. And so I'm sitting there cleaning fish, and one of them asked me my story of how I got to where I am. So I was able to stop for a moment and share with them my story with pastor and charter fishing and then into the ministry and all this. And they're like, man, that's an incredible story. What you listening to or learning right now? I said, I'm glad you asked. That's why it's so important for you to get there during the week and learn something. Because Yah is going to use you to be able to share that with somebody. If you're lazy doing some other things and don't spend that time, when that opportunity comes, you miss it. You never get to share it. You totally missed it. And I was so thankful that I was able to listen to all of that and read through all that because they knew already about the kings of Judah. They already knew about Kings and Chronicles, Isaiah and Jeremiah. They've been in church all their life. They know it a lot. And so I said, man, I got to learn a lot about Judah. And I got to learn about the northern tribe of Israel and a lot of things that happened with them and their kings, the downfalls, and how they just kept rejecting and all those things that happened because the Assyrians coming against them in Babylon Jehovah allowed those to be raised up for their discipline. And they were like, man, we know those stories. And so we was able to sit there and share and was able to talk. And they said, well, yeah, we come from Amish. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, but you know what? I know the Amish do certain things different. I know Baptists and Catholics do certain things different. But that's not our spot to judge people. And they go, you right, Chad. You right. I said, no. I said, but what God wants us to do is learn about him individually. And maybe there might be something that you could share with me and I could share with you. And we could meet together. That's what we do. And they were like, that's right. That's right. And God is good. And he's faithful. And they shared things with me, you know, that enlightened me. And that's what the Father wants us to do with each other. It doesn't matter where we come from. Look, we got leadership and people going over to COI this morning. They might do things a little different than us. We might do things a little different than them. But who orchestrated all this? Jehovah orchestrated it. You just stay on your assignment and do what he called you to do. So that's where I've been this week so far. And then we're still in our text. We've backed up a little bit. We didn't go forward to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 47. I was in 46 verse 1, and we'll go there for a minute. And then Pastor comes tonight, last night, which when Jehovah says in the evening, that's the time we cut off all work, time out, it's time to gather and put into order. Come into my house. That's what our master tells us and points us to. And that's what we come on the evening for. And he was showing us something. It's Yara. There's this Hebrew word, Yara, when he points to Goshen with Judah. We'll go there in a minute, but we're going to go over what I talked about last week, just a little bit, briefing, in Genesis 46, 1. And Yisrael set out with all that he had and come to Beersheba and slaughtered slaughterings to the Elohim of his father Yitzhak. Now he just got finished being told by Yehuda and by all the rest of them. They come with the wagons. Yosef is in Mishraim. We got to pack up and go. But how many know we've learned into the scriptures when you're reading, we can't go just by what man says. He was taught by his fathers Abraham and Yitzhak, his forefathers. Beersheba was a covenant, was a place to meet with Yah and hear from his voice. So he's doing the right thing. He wants to make sure he's hearing from the Father before he goes. Sometimes you can have inspirational words told to you from somebody, but that doesn't mean Yah said to go. You know, I wanted to go to COI. And I was thinking about it. Everybody started giving their play. I never got to go. This one never got to go. And I started thinking, I said, Father, what do you want? Do you want me to go or do you want me to stay? And instantly I was told, you stay. And they're going. And so that's why I'm here. He told me to stay. He told them to go. And so he tells, and so Yaakov takes it upon himself, I'm going fine and listen to the voice of Jehovah. So he goes to Beersheba. And in verse 2, and Elohim spoke to Yisrael in the visions of the night. And it makes me think about Isaiah. He went to the temple. And Yah gives him a vision. And here we have Yaakov. He's gone. And the visions of the night. And says, and Jehovah says, Yaakov, Yaakov. And he says, Hene, here I am. So now he's beholding Yah and he's hearing his voice. And that was not the greatest thing, just to hear his voice. The greatest thing was the next part in verses 3. He said, I am the Elohim of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Mishraim, for I shall make you there into a great nation. I myself am going down with you to Mishraim, and I myself. That's very inspiring to know that not just a man, but Yehovah himself, not just an angel, but Yehovah himself says, I am going with you. I am going with you. The superpower, the Elohim. Elohim in plural, some most scholars would say that it means gods, but it doesn't. The plurality of Elohim means that he's just all that superpower. That's all he is. He's everything. And it says in Genesis 1, it says, Rashit, in the beginning, Rashit, Elohim, this Elohim, Bara. You know, I learned last night, Bara, the word created, wasn't just a word of everything getting created, But there's the et there. There's the aleph and the tav. Yehovah is there. So if you think about what was taught a while back, that when Yehovah is present, you can smell, you can taste, the colors, all of his essence, everything of him was there in creation. It wasn't just things being created by itself. Because right now in our creation, this is just a leftover of him. It's not like it was in the beginning, because he's not here. His spirit is here. But if Yehovah was here, the colors would be pow. The smell would be pow. Everything would be spoken. Everything you would see in creation then was he was in it. He was all in it. But now in creation, where we are now at this time in the millennial, in this 6,000th year, he's not with us. We got his spirit. We got his ruach. We got his word. We got his son who's watching over us and praying over us and guiding us and directing us and pointing us in the right direction. But that's when you read, when you look into the Hebrew. You have to read the Hebrew. He hid all his word in the Hebrew. And it's just not God or created. It's Elohim, the superpower, this incredible, awesome God who done all these things. And he's the one and only, right? There is none else besides me. I am Kamocha. There is none else but me. He says, I myself am going down with you to Mishreim. I myself shall certainly bring you up again. And let Yosef put his hands on your eyes. And we learn that he's even telling him there's going to be a time that you're going to die and Yosef's going to close your eyes in your death. It's going to happen. I've seen it all. I know it all. I'm the Elohim who created the Eretz, the earth, and the heavens, the Shamayim. I created all these things. And I know what's going to happen. And Yaakov rose from Beersheba, and the sons of Yisrael brought their father Yaakov and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to transport him. And they took their livestock, their property which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and came to Mishreim, Egypt, and Jacob, and all his seed with him. His sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed he brought with him to Mishreim. If anything along the way would have faltered or failed, that either Yehuda or Yaakov or anybody failed to listen and go, all this generation would have starved to death and died, because they still had 5 years left of famine. All this was our father Elohim. This was all his plan for Israel to save them and bring them to where they were to be in safety. So now let me see if I could jump over to what we talked about last night. I'm going to go to Beersheba chapter 46, verse 28. I just learned this last night, so I'm going to do my best to kind of go over the notes as I'm still learning it and trying to teach it. So there's a messianic prophecy. We just talked about it. There's a rod that's going to come forth. There's a stem that's going to come forth from the stump. You know, all of Israel and Judah, when you read all throughout that what happens to them, in the end, all of Israel gets scattered all over. They get captured. And then you got Judah, kings up and down, can't make up their mind, end up Babylon. God sends Babylon over there to just take them over. And after he wipes them all out, he talks about a remnant that's going to be left from the stump of Yishai. And so right here, this is where it's going to kick in with Judah, Yehuda, in chapter 46, verse 28. And he sent Yehuda before him to Yosef to point out before him the way to Goshen, and they came to the land of Goshen. You got to go listen to the message from last night. Sister Randy's going to have recorded. And it talks about, Pastor talks about how he kept going over this verse over and over and over, and he just couldn't get away from it until he went through the Hebrew writings in it and come to Yerah and where it leads us to. And so Goshen was to draw near to God. Goshen is drawing near to God. Like we talked about with the little arrow pointing up we all had. Is it pointing up to heaven? Pointing up to heaven is actually pointing up to God. We got to behold God. We got to see who he is. Who's before us and who we really need and who we need to truly love with all our heart and with all our soul and all our being. It points up to him. So the Goshen was actually drawing near to God. The direct point from Yeshua, the hand of man is used for throwing, so we're going to get into that in a second. So let's go look at this ancient Hebrew word in chapter 46, 28. And this is Yara. And Yara is the pictograph of the Yod and the Resh. It's a picture of a man. Combined, these mean the hand of a man. And the hand of man is used for throwing. A flowing of water in a river, a throwing of the finger to show a direction, to point a walk. That's where we get this way. You point your finger this way. This yara means to point this way, and it says by a man. So in the Hebrew, when we look at to point out before him the way to Goshen, a throwing of the finger to show a direction, to walk or live, the throawing down of water, or awe of fear, where one throws self at the foot of one in authority. So you throw yourself at the feet of the one who is in authority. So when I got born again, under Yeshua Messiah. Yeshua Messiah, I bow down before him because Jehovah put him in charge. He's in charge now. He's the king. All these other kings couldn't do what Yah required them to do. They tore all this stuff down over and over again. He said, you know what? I'm going to raise up one that's not going to throw it down. And he's going to speak right words. And he's going to take care of everything, like I said. And that's what he did. He followed. Look, Noah had to build an ark, which he had not seen. He didn't know anything about, in a desert, mind you. In a desert, where there's never been no water. Yehovah gives him the blueprints. This is the blueprints. Follow my blueprints. And by emunah, that's faith in Hebrew, emunah, that's put into action, Noah started building an ark according to the prescribed blueprints. You have Yeshua Messiah. He's a little boy. He comes on the scene. All he's got, he doesn't have Matthew to Revelation. He's got Genesis, Bereshit, all the way to Malachi. That's all he's got. And so he's got the blueprints. And he reads the blueprints of every one of these kings. I just couldn't get it right. But he's seeing the percussion. The cause and effect. Why? And he's reading about Isaiah. This is what Isaiah said. This is what Jeremiah said. He's got the blueprints. Now, by emunah, by faith, he's got to believe what his father's telling him. And this is what you're going to have to do. And you're going to have to go to a cross. And you're going to have to die so they can get another chance. Other than that, there won't be another Jesse. There won't be another Charlotte. There won't be another Chad. There won't be another Linda to be able to make it into my kingdom. They're dead. Remember, over here, without Messiah, we only live so long and cut off. That's it. This is it. And that's why a lot of people in this world, they all say, oh, you know, we're going to die of something anyway, so might as well die. And we're just going to die and go to heaven. That's so far from the truth, it ain't even funny. It's never said that in these scriptures. That's all falsehood. And when it talks about there's many ways to God. And Pastor put up a picture up there last night that shows a man standing in a road, and there's probably 50 different arrows pointing all around. How would you like to be like that? That was my life before I become a follower of Messiah. I didn't know if I should follow my family this way. I was smoking cigarettes because my mom showed me how to smoke cigarettes. I saw what she did. She said, don't say cuss words. Adults don't say that. And you know, kids don't say that. Don't smoke cigarettes. That's only for adults. Don't watch dirty movies. That's only for adults. That's what they would tell you. So when you're growing up, you got all these arrows. Mom tells you not to go this way, but she says to go this way. They're doing this, but don't do that. It's confusing. Why are you telling me to serve God and go to church, but yet I come home, you cuss, you smoke cigarettes, and you do other things? It doesn't make any sense to me. And then you got all these religions that say there's many ways to God, but when I read, he says there's only one way. Amen. And Yeshua says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life in John 14. There's no other way to the Father but by me. Because he was faithful, emunah, and he took the blueprints that his father gave him, and he followed them to the fullest. And therefore, death couldn't hold him, and now death couldn't reign in his life, and death won't reign in your and our life if we follow the prescribed rules and obey his commands. like Israel and Judah couldn't do. They broke his covenant, had a covenant agreement. All the other ones had their covenant agreement. All the wrong ones that chose their guys, and they went to choose their guys, the guys that didn't have anything. Right back right there again. Empty, full of self, trying to figure it out on your own. And that's how all our governments are. When you read about what Isaiah had to go through in Jeremiah, they were going through a time where they were being oppressed. There was a time that God gave the land, the earth, as a gift. It was a free gift. And he dispersed it to all the people evenly. There wasn't somebody that had more or less than anybody else. That's what the kingdom's going to be like. But now you have the rich. They keep absorbing up all the pieces of the pie until this person that worked all their life for their farms or whatever because of this big, giant business and a monopoly takes over all their cattle. Now they have nothing to do. Now they're poor. Now they have to live off of food stamps. That's how this judicial system is. It's wrong and it's crooked. And it takes and stomps on people. But that's not how Christ's judicial system is going to be. It's going to be dispersed evenly with everybody. And if you don't go up to Jerusalem on Sukkot, you don't get no food. Everything's going to be handled by the words. There ain't going to be no more murdering. There ain't going to be no more killing. There ain't going to be no swords and shields. It even says in Jeremiah, it says, there's a time that's going to come where they take all their soldiers' boots and all their attire, all the soldiers' clothes that were full of blood, and they're going to burn them in the fire. There's going to be no more need of all this war. It's all going to be burned up in the fire. You've got to read all that. And it's not hard. It might be kind of tough to try and read through it. But you go to YouTube and you go look up Echoes of the Bible. You look up Isaiah. You look up Jeremiah. You look up Manasseh. You look up Hezekiah. There was this prophet Jeremiah that would go and tell and speak the truth. And it would tear up his words. If you go look in Jeremiah, I think it's 26 or 28, there's a false priest called Hananiah. He comes there, and if you just read that chapter without reading the previous chapter, you're going to automatically assume this is God speaking because Jehovah's name is in this. But when he's speaking, he says, I am prophet Hananiah, and I come before you to say that we will not fall by Babylon. We will not fall by Assyria. We're going to conquer them, and Jehovah is on our side. So he uses his name. And if you're not careful to read and know all the scriptures prior to that, you might assume, that's how people assume things, by cherry-picking scriptures, that God's saying this. But he's not. He's using God as a falsehood and proclaiming to the people, keep partying, have fun, we're going to win these wars, we're going to be okay. Well, how do you not know that he ate them words whenever they come and broke down all those walls, took everybody captive, and slaughtered and killed them right before their very eyes. And Jeremiah, I'm giving you the words of Yahweh, but you tore them up. How you know in the end times when it comes, when all the truth comes, and everything's happening, and people that are following falsehood are going to say, oh, Yeshua, didn't we do this in your name and that in your name? We cast out demons and devils. He's going to do like that king did when he was doing wrong. I'm going to tear it up and throw it in the fire. That's not my father's words at all. Remember, Yeshua is a king. He's not just a man. He's not just this loving friend. He's a king. Just like all these others were kings. And they ruled and reigned. And when they did wrong in Yah's sight, he sent people to come over there and wipe them out. He warned them before he did that. And he gives us warning through Yeshua over and over. Follow me. Do as I say. Follow me. Or this is what's going to happen. I don't know you. What's those garments on you? Garments meant a character or a covering. In the end, it talks about one that just kind of snuck their way in the millennial, and he goes there and he goes, oh, you might look good on the outside, but I already see clean through you. That's not the right garments. Throw him out with his outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're not allowed in my kingdom. Remember? That's not my father's words. Just like that king took the father's words of scripture. He said, I'm not listening to Isaiah or Jeremiah. I'm going to throw them in the fire. And that's what Yeshua is going to do when people present falsehood. It's not going to be allowed in the kingdom. And the Father said it. And the man who does not listen to my words that he speaks in my name, I'll require it of him. It's going to be a done deal. Just like Yosef was in charge of all of Pharaoh's stuff. When Pharaoh wasn't around, Yosef was like Pharaoh. When Yah's not around, Yeshua is like Yah. He's not Yah, but he's representing Yah. And when he comes, he's going to come with words that's going to annihilate all the falsehood, all the false prophets, and all of that. So getting back to this Hebrew word, when you look in the ancient Hebrew, and it teaches you to go through the different letters, H and V. So we're just going to read through this one right here that we had underlined. So this Yara is to throw, to reign, and to teach, to point the way one is to walk in life. So we underline walk. To point the way to walk, it says to teach, to direct, to inform, and to instruct. And so it went through this word, yara, in a direction, in a way, and to point. And one of its parent roots, and I think it's Strong's H8451, is a parent root. So you got yara. When you add the T, the tav, to it, it becomes, can anybody guess? Torah. So where is he pointing us to in the Hebrew from Yara? He's pointing us to Torah. So the Torah is our instructions and the way and the truth and the life. Where is Yeshua pointing us to? He's pointing us to the beginning of the book, the Torah, and all the prophets. All the ones that the kings just could not keep. They kept breaking. We even get the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah got to an age to where the father comes to him and he tells the prophet to tell him, on this such and such day, you're going to die. You're going to go sleep with your fathers. How many know that Yah knows exactly what's going to keep you and how you might falter? So he knew Hezekiah was going to fall within those extra 15 years. But he grants him his wish. He said, what do you want? I'll do whatever you want. So Hezekiah, he says, in his prayer, and a question was popped up, he says, this is what I'll do. It's your desire. If you wish to live longer, I'll stop the sundial and back it up a certain amount. He says, but if you wish to go ahead and die, as this I've required of it, I'll leave it go forward and you'll die. And so he required of it and asked for him for extra years. And so Yah granted him 15 extra years. It backed up time. And so he granted him those 15 years. When you go read about it, he started doing everything glorifying himself. He started calling Babylon over to come and check out all the stuff in the house. Look what all I've got. Look what all I got. Look what all I did. Look what all I acquired. Look at all the silver. Look at all the gold. And Isaiah comes over there. Hezekiah, what are you doing? What are you showing them? I showed them all that's in the house of Jehovah. I showed them all the gold. I showed them all of this, and I showed them all of that. And he's like, you shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. You're doing it wrong. And so he's like, this is what's going to happen. They're going to come, and they're going to take this whole place over because of you doing this. You're breaking the commands. And so he gets high-minded and says, well, at least it won't happen in my time. I'll be dead and gone by then. And after 15 years, after he's gone, guess who's watching him? He's got a little boy being raised up. Hezekiah, he has a little boy being raised up. And he's a little boy. And he gets put to being king. Well, all he gets to see is all the pride and the stuff that he gets to see. And plus, while this is going on, he's probably got advisors that's going in the wrong direction and wanting to go back to the way it was. Back to the Baals and back to adultery and the way it was. This is where we want to go. So they start speaking into the ears of this little king. The king of Hezekiah says, hey, this is what we need to really go back to. And he's thinking about all the pride that his father raised him up on. Be careful how you raise your children, because they're going to act just like you. They're going to be raised up and see what they see, and they're going to do what you do and act just like you. And he became one of the most wickedest kings. That was, if I'm not mistaken, that was Manasseh. That's how Manasseh became the most wickedest king of all of Judah's time. And I mean, he did it all out. I mean, he tore everything down. He had them all raised up. The worstest things are the worstest things. It was terrible. So the last 15 years, Jehovah already knew it was best for him to die. So sometimes you might look at somebody, and we've had some people die these past couple of weeks. Sometimes, even in Scripture, it says it would be best to just turn them over to the enemy. Let the enemy take out their flesh, because maybe it might be in hopes that they might turn back to me to have salvation. So in his time, he did wrong for his last 15 years. It was best that just like he told Moshe, Moshe, you're going to go up. There was a reason why Jehovah, he knows everything. He's the Elohim of all creation, and he sends him up there on the mountain to die. A Haran, he sends him up to go and die. All these died on the time that Jehovah said. And so there was a reason for it that he says it's time. He knows more than what we know. He knows us better than us. We got a time? Okay. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 49. So getting back to this Yerah, and it's got to be a man. It doesn't say any God. It says a man. So a man's got a point. And so that rod that came forth from the stump of Yishai, that's our master Yeshua. He's not God. He's a man. And he points us to the Torah. And that's what the Torah does. It points. And Pastor was talking about last night. He says, when you aim at a target, because it talks about the arrow, shooting the arrow straight on a target. When you draw an arrow back, a bow back, to shoot the arrow, you don't expect the arrow to go to the left. You don't expect it to swing to the right. You expect it to go straight head on. It's a straight head shot. That's the way you go. And so when Yeshua points us that way, that's the way we should go. And so that's what he brought us to. But like I said, you got to go listen to last night's message because it got a lot more detail than me just briefing over it a little bit. Exodus 12:49 says there is one Torah for the native born, which would be Israel and Judah, and for the stranger, which be like Ruth, for instance. She was a Moabite, and then she got grafted into being an Israelite. For the foreigner and sojourner alike. How do we learn that? Because we go back to what Yeshua points us to, the Torah. That's how we learn about all those things. We go find that out in Deuteronomy, Devarim. John 14:6. Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the Torah meaning literally means instructions. Teaching to shoot an arrow straight. It's one guide for our life. So if you want to know the way to life, eternal life, to get back to where it was in the garden, we're going to have to follow Yeshua. And he's going to point us in a direction. And back then, they had Isaiah as a mouthpiece. They had Jeremiah as a mouthpiece. We got the greatest mouthpiece of all. We got the Ruach. We have the Ruach HaKodesh. And if we know the scriptures, and when Yeshua sends the Ruach to speak to us, he's going to tell us which way to go. And sometimes we're not going to want to go that way, but it's for our own good. He kept telling Judah and Israel over and over, you need to go this way. You need to go this way. I remember there was something else in there that was I never did understand. But there was a time that Judah, they went and rejected, and they got themselves in a lot of trouble. And Isaiah sent him down there, to go and tell Judah this. Let me tell you something. He says it's going to be double worse for you because you knew better. And then he explains it. He says, when I told you that because of Israel, the northern tribe, they rejected all my word and they committed adultery, you watched my discipline on them. All my correction I sent on them, and they're scattered all over the earth. That's Ephraim. That's the northern tribe. Scattered all over the earth even to today. And he says, you saw my discipline, and then you rebelled against me anyway. You knew better. That's why Yeshua says it's worse for those. And it's in the Renewed Writings, I think it's in Timothy. It's worse for those who knew better than to turn back than those who didn't know better for the first time. So it'd be better for you that you had not known me than to know me and reject me again. That's why I'm telling you it's worse for Judah because you knew better. Israel wasn't so bad. They didn't get to see somebody else have it happen to. They experienced it for themselves. But it's worse whenever you see somebody else experience it and you still reject him anyway. And that's what Judah did. Rejected anyway. These are incredible principles that you can learn and teachings for your life just going through echoes of the Bible, through different stories, and stop it and go look at it for yourself. Now, I got one in Isaiah. When you get to the end of it, you got to kind of eat the hay and spit out the briars, because they kind of start mixing our master and the father. You know, it's just a belief that somebody has. You just get what you need for your assignment and you use that. Just eat the hay, spit out the briars. That's why I said you got to go back and check it for yourself. You just can't believe somebody that's on YouTube or video what they're saying. You got to go back and line this up. And I trusted my pastor when he said, I've been listening to these. They're pretty close. They're pretty close on everything. You know, the narrator is pretty good and pretty close on everything. So I took his word for it, and I went back and looked, and I started writing. I'm telling you, I got pages and pages of notes. And when they said it was my turn to come and speak, it overwhelmed me, because I was like, how do you take 2 weeks of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all these kings? It'd be impossible to try and speak about this in an hour. You can brief on it the best that you can. And you say, Father, I really don't know how to do this. I need your help. So everything I'm giving to you, I'm asked for help, because that's a lot to go through in chapter 46, 1 through that, what we just talked about, Achal and Hane, those two Hebrew words, Achal and Hane, and how they work side by side. And now Yerah. Yerah is easy to remember because you don't just take the T off. Torah, you have Yerah. Yerah's parent root is Torah, and that's what it points us to. And this is what Yeshua is pointing us to. Yeshua pointed us to Shabbat this morning. Did he or did he not? That's why we're here this morning, because he's pointed us, you're going there. You're going to gather and put it in order. And you just keep this. In the public, when you go out, put on my character. You're learning to grow in my character while you're in the middle of it. Look, Isaiah and Jeremiah was in the middle of all the same stuff we're in the middle of. And they held up to their death. You know, I looked up some of the history of Judah. Judah has some history that you can go back and look at. And they're saying in the Talmud that Isaiah, history tells them that Isaiah went and tried to give the word again to King Manasseh. And King Manasseh had him shoved in a stump of a log and had him sawn in two because of speaking the words of Yah. And even Jeremiah was put to death. You go read some of the history in the Talmud. And we don't have any biblical proof, but it's good to go listen to, because Judah is the only one that upheld the Torah. So it's good to go listen to some of this Jewish history in the Talmud and get some points that, because when you read about what happens to Isaiah for speaking the word, you go back and look at what happened in the Renew writings with Shaul and Kepha. They were all martyred just like Isaiah was. So it's kind of almost a match. You're going to be given the word and you're going to be ridiculed for it. You might be martyred for it. They're being martyred for it in Africa and other places around the country, that in these other nations and places that you see on the news. People die every day and are martyred because of speaking the truth of Jehovah. And so our master said, hey, even though you die, I shall raise you when I come. So rather you alive or you dead, you'll be raised from the dead to meet me in the air, everybody together. The dead shall raise first, and those at my coming who are alive shall meet me in the air. And so we got to keep his words. John chapter 14, 1 through 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. Believe in Elohim, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many staying places. And if not, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, you might be too. Where is Yeshua going to be in millennial? He's going to be in Jerusalem, where he said we'll be with him. Where I'll be, you'll be with me too. That's what we're going to be with the King, if we hold fast to his words, to his coming. And when he comes to look at us, will he recognize the same that when we're here in this temple, in this house of Yah, when we're out in the streets in our character, does it still portray the same thing we're in the house? Because it'll tell on us when he comes. Because those garments, they're going to be his or they're not going to be his. They're going to be ripped up and thrown into the fire. And that's another thing I learned. There's another scripture I learned with going through these kings and these prophets. It says, when they threw their babies to Moloch in the fire, they went to the valley of Gehenna. When you read in the Renewed Writings, It's not just a trash pile for burning. Even in the renewed writings, they have it in the Greek. When you go to that Greek, Gehenna, it gives you the Hebrew right there. Ge means valley. In Hebrew, valley. So Ge, when you say Ge, it means valley. Henna was the place. They went to Gehenna. They went to the valley of Henna, and they threw their babies in the fire to Moloch so that they could have prosperity and life. So they thought, falsehood, false God. That's when you read. If you don't go back and read the Torah and the prophets, which our master points us to, you would know what Gehenna means when you read it in the Greek. You have to know these, or you come up with something false. You come up with the word, like in the King James, it says, then you get thrown in hell. Well, that's kind of true, because if you're not worshiping, and if you're not part of Yeshua's team, you do get thrown in the fire. But it's not an everlasting place where people are burned on fire all the time, every day and night, screaming. That's all Greek mythology. That's not in the scriptures. You got to go back and put it back in its Hebrew writing in a setting, and then you come back to it and say, oh, it's a perfect match. It's a perfect match. And where I go, you know. You'll know. We're learning. And the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you're going. And how are we able to know the way? And Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And so the master tells him, haven't you been with me all this time? How many years have so many been in this church at Faith Temple Ministries? And he still says, still you do not know or hear me? He says, maybe Thomas just wasn't paying attention. Maybe he wasn't taking his notes. Maybe he was just showing up with everybody and his mind was still at, maybe at his house somewhere. I don't know. But all this time, the disciples are with him and Thomas is seeing him and he's like, Master, we do not know where you're going and how are we able to know the way? You should have known. I've been teaching this whole time. Do you not hear? Did you not see? He said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen. And Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Yeshua said to him, have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? This was Philip he's talking to. I'm sorry, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father, and how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak from myself. It doesn't come from this end anymore. We get born again, and we follow Messiah, and it's the words of the Father. This is who Yeshua follows, the last Adam. This is the last Adam, Yeshua. The first Adam died. He didn't obey. But this Yeshua, this second Adam obeyed, and now he follows the Father. He doesn't follow self. These are not my words that I speak. These are the words of my Father. Believe me, he says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who stays in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I shall do, in order that the Father might be esteemed in the Son. If you ask whatever my name, I shall do it. It has to line up with his words, just like Isaiah, just like Jeremiah, just like Yeshua. Where you want me to go, that's where I go. But if you're not going, I'm not going. That's what Yaakov says. That's what all the prophets, if you're not going, I'm not going. That's what Moshe said. You send an angel, I'm not going. If you're not going, I'm not going. Yaakov's looking for some advice from the Father. I only go if you say to go. He says, I'll be with you, and I'm going. Same thing with us. Whatever job, whatever location, some things might be kind of tough, on the edge to give up as you grow and learn. But the Father's got a better plan. The Father's got a lot of great places and things in store for those who are following and love Messiah, right? So we're going to stop right there and call it the best I can give, Shabbat. And say Shabbat Shalom to everybody. Does anybody have any prayers or needs?